D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss.
The boss.
They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really.
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah.
B's and B-Boys. Saints. B's and B-Boys. I love this podcast.
There it is. Welcome in. Another week, another edition. The BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live here at the SEC Sports Pub. With me this week, Heath Elson-Son to my right. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. Yes, and I am Dave Romero. For the next hour, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. So, from Ruston and Monroe, Farmersville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. All right, is this how this is going to start, right? So the whole time, everything I'm saying is wrong. They point out everything I spelled wrong. Listen, if you were expecting something like that, you got the wrong guy.
But we love you, Dave.
I appreciate it. You got to accept me for what I am.
Yes.
They pointing out I spelled Ruston wrong on my cue card here. I spelled John Hendricks' name wrong on the big board. I mean, yeah. And then made me stop because I said Mustin and Monroe. I tell you, Jim Henderson, he's retiring. I told you I wouldn't accept that job. I'm reconsidering now. I mean, I'm going to put a highlight reel from Mustin to Monroe.
Yeah.
All the blurbs.
We're just going to do a highlight reel so that people know what they're missing.
Yeah. I doubt the Saints are reconsidering, but okay.
Well, you know, like sometimes I feel like they're obviously listening. They don't always take everything I have to say and act on it. But you know they listening.
Yeah.
You know they listening. It's just something that I'm confident in. All right. So kind of slow period of time. I think
not for me, but go ahead.
Tomas, you're the playmaker. But here, I know that we have the Tomas mock draft 1.0. He actually printed it out. Everybody has a copy of it, so we kind of get a chance to look at it and see it. We also have a guest, Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible, drops in, kind of give us an update on the ongoings of the NFL draft process right now. Tomas, don't get jealous. Now, I know, don't get jealous. Listen.
I'm looking for that Mel Kiper money.
The resident draft expert here, Tomas Mauricio, puts in a lot of work.
I do.
I like your stuff. But you know we got to get those different opinions every once in a while. People, I just don't want you. Sometimes I want you storming out and getting all upset with me. I know.
What do you think? I'm a snowflake. My feelings aren't hurt.
All right. So then also, looks like Tom Benson had a little bout. He was in hospital.
Yeah.
So we're gonna need to talk about that real quick. I don't think it was anything.
Cough medicine.
Maybe so.
X-44 wasn't doing it.
We also are gonna talk about the guys that might get the axe. Some of the guys are going to keep. Some of the Saints free agents.
They're asking somebody. You know,
Let me ask you. Yeah. So, right. And then here's a great article. The Canal Street Chronicles, our good friend John Hendricks.
Yes.
He runs that spot over there. You go out and check it out. Five potential free agents. And these are guys who are actually under contract that will probably get cut. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's a great place to start with a conversation because some of those names – guys that at the right price, if we can get them, I think it would be something that we could really help our team with. All right. You ready to get the show started?
Let's get it going,
see some enthusiasm.
All right, let's go.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Hey, Dave, was Cushing one of the five on you on the list there?
No Cushing, but I heard what you heard. Cushing got cut. Did he already get cut?
I don't know if he already got cut or it's just announced that he's going to get cut at whatever.
You know how they do that, right? Yeah. They announce that you're going to be cut and then they cut you later on. So one way or another, Cushing is going to be on the market. Yeah. Having said that, I'm not a fan of his, and I know in the right situation, and I'm even going to put it from a Saints perspective, I don't think the Saints really use a guy like him. He's not an inside linebacker.
Well, he was, though. His most productive time in the NFL, he was in the middle.
In the middle, huh?
Yeah. He can play in the middle, yeah.
All right, maybe I need to watch more
Plays Houston. Well in the middle.
Maybe I have to watch more Houston football because I always looked at him as a strong
sideline. He has been playing on the outside, but prior to that, he played in the middle.
Huh. Well, you know, I mean, okay, so what do I know? If he's been playing the middle, I always thought he was a strong side guy, and I just don't know because he's a big guy, he's a strong guy, hold up against the run, but I really think the way the Saints play defense, I don't know where his position would be. Now, if he does play in the middle, and I'm not necessarily saying middle linebacker, either weak side or middle, I still don't look at, he's not a cover guy, and the way the Saints play football, I don't know. I don't really see him fitting into our scheme.
Yeah, okay.
Either.
Yeah.
So,
I don't either.
But
he's also not young, and he's probably going to command a pretty good.
And I mean, you wonder he's either going to continue doing the PEDs or he's going to shrink down.
Well, and that's the other problem.
Yeah. He'll be like 210, 215 out there.
Twice he's already gotten popped with the. Yeah.
And you wonder at what point. I mean, he has to be, and I don't know exactly where he is in the protocol, but he has to be right there. If he gets hit again,
remember Lyle Alzado?
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously your memory is a play. Do you remember when he got sick before he died?
Okay, yeah.
I saw an interview with him, and the dude was like 5'4", 123 pounds. I mean, I'm serious. Like he
up.
Yeah, he was on human growth. I mean, he talked about it.
That was ultimately
what led to the cancer that killed him.
Yeah. That's back when that was a common point.
But I mean, God, you want to talk about a difference, how much that had blown that guy up. I mean, he was a little bitty shell of a guy compared to what he was.
I always talk about, like, offensive linemen. There are no 310, which is, you know, the weight of an offensive lineman nowadays, right? There are no 310 guys, it feels like. They're either 250-pound guys that they bulking up to 310, and they after football they just shrink back down, or they're 400-pound guys in a 310-pound body,
right.
And after they finish playing,
they blow up.
There's just very rarely do you see the guy later down in life, and they're just, oh, man, he's 310, 315. You know, it's like, no, it's one extreme to the other. They're struggling.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about it, too. They just like, man, I'm just eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, just trying to keep that weight on.
Yeah.
So, Tomas, you were going to bring up Peterson, but you didn't, and I had a big joke for that. So I've been waiting for you to do it.
Well, I was waiting to, you know, get my moment here because I thought it was a good conversation on Cushing. But similarly, there's a lot of talk about Kansas City just letting Peterson walk.
Now, what I've heard was trades. I didn't hear just flat out. Well, I mean, that's a talented player just to
Peterson
say.
Peterson or Peters?
Peters.
Peters. Sorry. Peters. Peters. Oh, Peters. Okay. I thought we were talking about the running back from Arizona. I thought we had a shot at him.
No, not him.
No, all right.
Well, nah,
if we're talking Kansas City.
Yeah. I think we can get him vote for a 6-round draft choice.
No, it's one of those Jimmy Graham things. If we can get Peterson back,
we
get the pick and, oh, man, that'd be gravy all the way around. No, just kidding. But
that's what I heard. I heard that at some point there was talk of trade, but then at some point they were like, you know, we had enough of this. We're just going to let him walk.
You know,
and I was like, really? And you know, once you say that, then the other teams go, well, wait, hold on. I'm not going to trade for him then. If you're going to let him walk, I'm not going to trade.
There's something just, I mean, it's he's the epitome of the coach killer. So talented, so good. I mean, he's a guy that can transform, just like Lattimore. He can transform your defense. The problem is, did you see the way he behaves?
No, that's the
problem. Do you want that on your team?
No, I do not.
Okay, and let's, again, talking about the Saints. Yeah. Let's say somehow another Saints managed to get him on the team. Do you feel comfortable now going into your second year, Lattimore, going into your third year, Crowley, going into his seventh year with three starts of peanut butter and jelly?
Do you want a six-year veteran with six starts? Yeah.
Right. Do you want a personality like that?
No, I do not. Plus, you're talking about Bell in the back as well, and William. These are all young kids. These are all 1 and 2 year old.
Speaking of personality, you know, like you're talking about, I've heard some chatter about whether Denver would let Tlaib walk. Yeah, he's another guy.
Another one. And see, the problem with all this, Dave, is that you have so many Saints fans who will say, oh, we got to get him. Oh, we got to get him. I mean, this will be the talk now for the next week. And it's like, you don't really understand what you're talking about. All
well,
right.
Hey, when we come back, we have all we kinds of stuff, and we're going to start doing that 1.0 draft.
All right, I'm ready.
All right. It's BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free.
Wait, I'm not talent-free.
The BS and Beer Podcast.
Wait, I'm on my diet, brother. I've dropped a good bit,
and I'm still not fat.
So now that Fitbit's working? Mine's working. I think it's working.
Well, I had to start walking.
Oh.
Yeah. See, I put it on, and I spent a year just wearing it. And
it didn't work?
It didn't do anything. I didn't lose any weight, and then he told me, no, you got to actually do stuff, make these numbers
it just
go.
Tracks what you do. It doesn't make you lose weight.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Fitbit ain't paying us a penny. We need to, I mean, the way we promote it.
That's right.
See my Fitbit, don't you?
I use a Fitbit, and it works for me.
Yeah,
I'm just trying. I'm just warming it up. All right, so we're gonna get into the because there's so much. See, now we picked 27th. I mean, this is a long list, Tomas.
Yes, sir, it is.
We should start it, but before we start it,
yes, sir.
And then we'll just do it periodically throughout the show.
All right, sir.
How do you like that idea?
Well, periodically, okay. Like here's a periodic table.
Here's the thing. You were saying Kirk Cousins.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's going to pay him $60 million.
Well, the word on the street is this is how ridiculous these salaries have gotten. Word on the street is that there's a team that has actually thought about writing a one-year $60 million contract for Kirk Cousins.
See, I don't even know how they would be able to fit that in. I mean, it would have to be
a team. I have no idea. But
maybe it's Denver.
I saw
the thing about Tlaib and somebody else, a starter off of that defense. Yeah. Maybe that was part of what they were talking about.
I'm just saying to you.
Kirk Cousins is going to have to start on defense, too, if they pay him that kind of money.
Two-way player.
Yeah. Suck it up, baby. You out back on the field. I'm trying to look at his tablet.
I'm just saying $60 million. Okay, do you really believe that Kirk Cousins is a number one through number three? I give him the top three. Do you think he's the top three quarterback in the NFL?
No. I mean, and here's the thing. I got to take it a step further. I do have respect for Kirk Cousins, and I think he's. Yeah. I don't know. He's a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not top four or five, and you know circumstances could change that. You know what? He could go to a team. I mean, because you got if I'm trying to defend the guy. I mean, the Redskins were banged up last year. I mean, they had nothing. They were a walking injury.
They had an old guy for a tight end. That's all they had.
But having said that, I mean, I don't know. For whatever reason, I've paid attention to Kirk Cousins throughout his career.
No.
Very, very good quarterback. I think he could win on a good team. Yeah. Having said that, I don't see him being that next level guy.
Well, I'll give you another little tidbit.
Okay.
Atlanta might be ready to jettison Matty Ice.
No way. Come on, man.
Look, all the stuff I read, this, you know, I laughed about this, but this is actually,
actually
from an Atlanta source.
I actually read something like that, too, yeah.
You know, that they think they've had enough of Matty Ice, and so they might be drafting the kid from Louisville.
Oh, what's his name? Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson.
I've seen him mock to the Saints. Some of these
I saw that, too.
Mocks.
I'm just saying. You know, these are all the things you come across when you're trying to put together a mock draft.
Yeah.
These are all the things you come across.
I don't know. Lamar, I mean, I just don't. First of all, I'm just not super impressed with him.
No.
Well, they say that he's the next Michael Vick, even better.
I saw. Is that on the field or in the dog arena or what? I saw on the same day that I saw the Saints. Jackson mocked to the Saints. I saw an article about how Lamar Jackson should switch to wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, they had that too.
So it was like, you know, opinions are all over the place about him. But the premise was that he would be a perfect guy to spend 3 years sitting behind Drew Brees. Yeah, not a guy you're going to be expecting to play.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Perfect guy to spend 3 years sitting behind Drew Brees. And then after 3 years, we could draft the real quarterback.
That's the way I feel about it. Yeah, but
I mean, I've just seen enough of him playing. I never really got it. I don't know, man. I don't know.
He's walking out as a junior, right? Isn't he? I mean, he's not a senior.
No, he's not
a
senior.
No, he's
and I've watched the other kid that plays for Minnesota, Bridgewater,
yeah.
And he played at Louisville, and it just not impressive. And he gets to the NFL. You know who I liked, and he was successful in the NFL. The kid that went to Houston, you know, played for Clemson, quarterback.
Watson.
And I'm don't get me wrong. You always wonder, like, man, those mobile quarterbacks are they just another Cam Newton? They athletic, but they're not really going to ever learn how to read a defense. He went to Houston and a handful of games that he played, like five games.
He was
games.
Running for his life because there's no offensive
but
line.
Still, yeah. I mean, he was still effective.
Oh, yeah, he played five games, and they were already anointing him with the Rookie of the Year award.
Right. Yeah, I was getting frustrated because they kept bringing his name up. I'm like, the dude played five games and a quarter, and you better not. You better not taking one of the Saints players. Anyway, so I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't be excited about seeing him with the Saints. And I say that now, but I also know that, man, guys, I don't think I like that style of quarterback. But guys have been successful.
I will tell you that.
And, God, you'd hate to pass on him and find out that he is the next Michael Vick without the dog issues.
Well, he's hot on Twitter. There are a lot of people on the New Orleans Saints Twitter. You know, all the tweets
so
talking
he's,
about.
Now he's replaced the kid from Oklahoma. So is that the flavor of the week?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Baker Mayfield now, I think they got him. Everybody's got him pegged as a top five pick. He won't be anywhere remotely close to.
Well, I tell you what, there are so many.
That way too. So
there's so many potential good free agent quarterbacks. I don't know if I've ever seen it to my recollection.
Hey.
The amount of quality quarterbacks that will be available.
Not just free agents, but in the draft as well.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is if these teams that need a quarterback end up getting these free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Right, right.
That and means it, all of a sudden guys start slipping down the draft board.
Well, like I told you, McCarron finally got let loose from Cincinnati.
Right, there's
Big
another one.
Big talk about he's connected to Zimmer in Minnesota, so he might sign with Minnesota, which means that the three guys at Minnesota who are all free agents will walk away, but that's three more guys that are on the market besides Kirk Cousins.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of dominoes that could fall here.
And next thing you know, you have an entire field of quality and experienced NFL quarterbacks. Now, all of a sudden, if they sign with a couple of those teams high up in the draft order, you start seeing a slide
before of quarterback. Before you know it, Josh Rosen is at the 27.
Yeah, 27. We put him behind Drew for 3 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, Tomas, I think right now would be a good time for you to start off. Why don't you go, like, top 10 for your mock draft and give us time to absorb that, and then a little bit later we can do a couple of more.
All right, so the first 10 picks in a draft, you got the Cleveland Browns. I have them going with Barkley, the running back from Penn State, as the first pick.
Saquon.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people don't think that. A lot of people think quarterback, but I don't. If you're just looking at talent, Barkley is more talented than the quarterbacks.
I don't disagree with that as far as talent. Having said that, I just can't see how Cleveland can continue to. I mean, they've done so poorly with them.
Now, remember, they have the number four pick as well. So that's why.
Oh, I see a little flexibility there. All right, I see where you're going with this.
Because if they don't pick him first, he'll be gone before they get him.
This is why you're the draft guru, so I'm going to let you go. Go ahead.
So they pick first Barkley. At the two spot, the New York Lilliputians will pick the quarterback from UCLA, Josh Rosen. At number three, the Indianapolis Dolts will pick Bradley Chubb, the edge rusher from North Carolina State. That'll be a good pickup for them, I think. Then the Browns have the fourth pick from that whole thing about taking the dead meat from Houston.
Yeah.
And so here they pick up Baker Mayfield, quarterback from Oklahoma.
Okay, I don't agree with it, but all the comparisons between him and that's what's coming up now on Twitter and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield and Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I know you, Tomas, so you did that just for drama. You were like, oh, I can't pick him first. Oh, that fourth, I'm going to pick Baker Mayfield so everybody can. Yeah, I mean, I remember.
And we got Manziel coming back.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I thought he was going to Canada.
Well, I don't know. Now he's gone to some camp or whatever it is for, you know, I don't know. He's planning on, he's finally seen the light. He's clean. He's figured out what an idiot he's been being and all, and now he's ready to come back.
It's a guy who wants him bad.
Jerry Jones.
That's the guy.
Somehow that doesn't surprise. That was a total guess.
Because, you know, he wanted to draft him, and it was his son who said, no way, we're not taking that guy.
Yeah.
But he never got over it.
I read Johnny Manziel, and I was confused. I thought he was going back to college because it said that he was going to Michigan State. And then I read a little further, it said Michigan State Penitentiary. So
there you go.
Yeah, right.
So number four, Baker Mayfield. Number five, the Denver Broncos picking Quentin Nelson, the offensive guard from Notre Dame.
Not a quarterback.
Now remember that my list is before any free agents get signed, before any trades get done. This is just straightforward.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about what's going to happen.
I read today, where did I read it? Golly, why didn't I keep that note? Denver Broncos says it's not out of the question that they go after Drew Brees. I read that somewhere. And it's not usually how I write it down and read it and then say it on the radio. I read it. Somebody else wrote it. And I wish I would have. I can't remember. Yeah. Go ahead.
So then the New York Jets, J-E-T-S, take Josh Allen, a quarterback from Wyoming. Number seven, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they take Minka Fitzpatrick, the defensive back from Alabama. The Chicago Bears, Josh Jackson, cornerback from Iowa. The 49ers pick Rokan Smith, linebacker from Georgia. And finally, at number 10, Oakland Raiders, Marcus Davenport, edge from UTSA.
So San Francisco.
Now I'll tell you why if you want to know.
Well, I mean, because they're the last linebacker they picked in the first round is going to prison.
That's correct.
So
that's
they have a, they
he
have
won't
an open.
Be back on
He's
the
going
field.
To Michigan State too.
That's correct.
All right, all right.
He and Johnny going to put the new team together right. from the you know the
penal league.
That's right, the penal league to play against the guards.
You're right.
The longest yard, huh?
There you go. There you go. But seriously, I mean, I think they'll pick Smith because they have no chance with Foster. Foster is gone.
Well, and the thing about it right now, it's so hard, and it's fun to do these mock drafts, but we'll watch these players go up and down the board.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because there's a part of me, I feel like the Saints need two components.
Yes, sir.
Tight end.
Yes.
That can get a first down.
Yes.
And a linebacker.
I agree with that. That's
a difference maker.
Yes.
And I know you're a big fan of that, too. And so I have my eye on Rokan, but every time the every time the Saints pick lower, I always have that guy that's going to go top 15, but you just somewhere
well,
in your mind
like
convince
Lattimore.
Yourself. No, who would have ever thought that happened?
Yeah, nobody would have thought that would have happened.
No, I
right?
agree. But man, to get down once you get down,
but
to
having a guy, falling all the way to 27.
Well, there's a linebacker that I really like that I thought at first when I first started doing this several weeks back, I thought this guy might make it all the way to 27. But then I kept reading about him. I saw a couple of videos of him online, and everybody's been talking him up, and all of a sudden, he's moved up, you know? But anyway, that's my first group of 10. Now you're free to comment, gentlemen.
Well, I mean, I kind of interrupted you and made all my comments at that point. I like the San Francisco's being bold and going after those guys who are going to end up in prison.
I mean, the thing that jumps out to me, I'm a little... I'm not sure if the Giants are ready to draft somebody or not at quarterback. Not that they shouldn't necessarily, but I've read a lot of stuff about Manning, and I'm just not sure that that's where they're looking at.
So, okay, so what you're hearing is that Manning is not done? I mean, because I thought he's just done in New York.
I don't think so.
No, because they got a new GM and a new coach.
So he minutes some fists and fences and thinks that maybe
– But at the same time, the people of New York – are sick and tired of Eli Manning.
Yeah,
you see, and you have to talk about tickets. I mean, this is about business.
Oh, yeah,
business
no
decision,
doubt, no doubt,
yeah.
no doubt.
Which is why I chose Rosen here because if they pass on Rosen, then they're not going to get a quarterback this year,
yeah. right?
Okay, and if they don't get a quarterback this year, and Eli goes out there and bombs it up, you know, then you're going to lose ticket sales. The Jets play in the same stadium. I mean, you have to understand business, you know. So to me, that's why I thought.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I'm not. The other thing is, I'm a little surprised that you don't have Denver taking a quarterback, especially if we're not considering any other moves.
Right. Well, I know there's no free agency or anything else, but thinking about is John Elway, who is the guy who's going to be pulling the trigger. To me, all these guys, he has had nothing really where he's like, oh my gosh, this guy's fabulous, of any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know. Whereas, well, what do you need? If you do pick up a quarterback via free agency with all the ones that are going to be out there, well, then you need an offensive line.
Yeah.
So the best guy on the board is his guard from Notre Dame. So that's why I put him there.
All right. Well, hey, you guys read Tom Benson in the hospital.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look,
flu-like
care,
symptoms, yeah.
Flu-like
90
symptoms.
90 years old.
And, you know, listen, you can break a fingernail when you're 90.
Yeah.
And they, you
so,
know,
well,
and
it could
dangerous.
Be. Well, look, it could be just very simply. You know, when you get old like that, the symptoms can be worse. And so, it's always good to go to the hospital where you can get a nice warm sponge bath with a young nurse. That'll pick him up right away.
You think he got Obamacare?
He might have it.
By the time he pays that copay and everything, so
there you go.
I would imagine he probably has a little bit better than that. So I'm sure that when there's anything going on, when you 90
goes to the hospital.
And you got money. Listen, they're not gonna
He won't be in that same little gurney bed that you would get. You know?
Did you see the statement that the Saints put out on the matter?
No.
I thought this was funny. And I realized that this is a sponsor for them and everything, so they got to, you know.
It must be Ochsner.
It is. So Mr. Benson, who turned 90 in July, has been admitted into the intensive care unit and is receiving the standard, excellent, and world-class care that all patients who enter Ochsner Medical Center.
I'm convinced he's not going to make it.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't have any broken bones anything because,
no,
you know.
No groins issue. I mean,
he's got a sports hernia.
Yeah, sports hernia, yeah.
Oh, no.
Broken leg, maybe.
They're going to let him out with flu-like symptoms in about three weeks. They're going to find out he had a hernia and a break in his leg that they didn't see the first time around. Yeah. So. All kinds of
stuff.
Anyway,
I couldn't help. I had a good belly laugh when I read that statement.
Well, he couldn't answer the questions because of that concussion protocol, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope they got their ducks in a row, man. The Saints ownership is in bad way when you send them to me, man. All right,
you want to go through the next 10?
I mean, we got about 40 seconds. You want to squeeze it in there?
All right, done.
Anyway, so when we come back, we're going to do the rest of your but before that, we have Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible. He's going to come and visit with us, talk a little NFL draft. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's Dave Romero of the BS and Beer Podcast here on Sports Talk 97.7. I got my buddy Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. He's at the All-Star Game practices and the games. He'll be at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Rick, welcome, man. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing good, man. You know, it's a great time of year, combine time. It's time for the cream to rise to the top and separate the pretenders from the contenders.
Awesome. Listen, first of all, why don't you give me a little rundown of what's going on right now in the scouting world. The combine starts at the end of February, I believe. Tell me what's going on in the scouting world right now.
Yeah, so, you know, NFL teams are going to be gathering in Indianapolis. It's the who's who of the football community. And, you know, basically the teams are going to start compiling their draft boards and starting to, you know, set the players they want and find out the players who fit their scheme. But more importantly, you know, the combine process is an exercise that allows scouts to kind of check off the boxes as they go along and see if, you know, the game film matches up to their athleticism and if they hit the correct markers and, you know, testing athletically. Of course, the other major components of the combine is the medical aspect and, you know, what happens there, you know, when they get poked and prodded, if, you know, anything comes up that they weren't aware of and how does that impact their draft status and will they have to get invited back for the medical recheck. And then lastly, you know, the part that we don't get to see is those one-on-one meetings behind closed doors. How do the quarterbacks do with the chalk talk? How is Josh Rosen's personality? How will Baker Mayfield come across? How will the LSU defensive end, Adarius Key, respond to the Q&A behind closed doors? So, you know, teams really get to put a personality, a face to the name, and get to know these players a little bit.
You know, an interesting story I heard one time from a GM friend of mine. What they would do is they would set like a meeting up with a player, and then in the waiting room they would have just somebody who's just a regular Joe playing Xbox, and they'd say, "Man, you want to play?" And let the guy, in other words, the college player that they were going to interview, they would just sit there, and the kid didn't know that basically that was the interview, and the guy's just like talking to him while they were playing Xbox. So I found that always to be an interesting story about how they're just trying to find ways to get these guys to be themselves instead of trying to be what the team wants them to be.
Yeah, you know, you hear all kinds of stories in terms of some of these questions and, you know, the thinking and the methodology that goes behind the question. And, you know, would you prefer to be a dog or a cat? if you had to choose a murder weapon, would you choose a gun or a knife? And, you know, if you choose a knife, then, you know, teams might question, do you like the process and the time that it takes to kill someone with the knife as opposed to getting it over with quick and easy with the gun? I mean, there's so many different stories that you hear, and obviously, you know, we get, you know, some of the other crazy stories such as the Dez Bryant incident and some of the things that went on with Justin Blackmon and during the pre-draft process leading up to that situation. But, you know, getting back to what the big question marks are, I think, is the quarterback position and, you know, whether the Saints want to groom a quarterback of the future or not. They're going to have to get to know these quarterbacks and they're going to do their due diligence and they're going to have to see, you know, which quarterback here might be a fit for them. I don't think Drew Brees will be leaving Saints, but how much longer will he have? And, you know, do they want to get the quarterback of the future in that building? I think the combine is a great time and place to do that, and especially spend a few minutes with them behind the closed doors, like we talked about, and then figure out, you know, do we want to fly that quarterback into our facility for a private meeting or a private workout?
I know right now is kind of a dead period. There's probably not a whole bunch of stuff going on. Is there anything that you would find noteworthy going on with some of the bigger names, some of the guys who might end up being a day one pick?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of time, still 2 months to go throughout the process. But I think that right now you're taking a look at a pretty deep draft class. I think that however which order you want to put them in, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen, I think they're all destined for the first round. You know, now whether or not one of those guys is there when the Saints pick rolls around, that remains to be seen. But there's also some day two guys here. Kyle Lauletta from Richmond, an FCS under-the-radar prospect, a guy that we like very much here at the NFL Draft Bible. A lot of people are comparing him to Jimmy Garoppolo. And then you have a Mike White from Western Kentucky who really had a strong week at the Senior Bowl, an impressive showing there. He's going to look to continue that momentum into the scouting combine at Indianapolis. And, you know, Luke Falk is another interesting case study, of course, coming from that Mike Leach air raid offense. You know, he's going to have to answer those questions if he's a system quarterback. Why did he get benched by Mike Leach on several occasions this past year? But when you take a look at the pocket passers and the ability to read through their progressions, there's a lot of love out there for Luke Falk as well. So I think it's a very deep draft in terms of draft prospects. And surprisingly, you know, it's a very rich free agent class and the quarterbacks. And, you know, this is a perfect example as to why I believe, you know, this could be a whole nother show and a whole nother topic for another day. But I honestly believe that NFL free agency should be first and then the draft should follow after that.
I've heard that argument a lot, and I think that it has a lot of merit to it. I think it would be interesting because, generally speaking, I know fans get super excited about the draft, but the fact of the matter is you're going to get day one players in free agency, and most teams will fill holes and build for the future with the draft. But to do it the other way could be interesting as well. One of the questions I have is about wide receiver. The Saints could be looking for a guy to complement Michael Thomas, maybe another possession receiver type guy, you know, big body guy. And I'm wondering, there are a lot of free agents out there right now that the Saints might be interested in, but they're going to cost big money. Are there any guys who might fit that role as a possession receiver the Saints could be looking at in the draft that could come in and potentially contribute, you know, in the first year as a rookie?
So the wide receiver class this year, you know, I think the Saints have the 27th pick. The one guy that I believe firmly will be off the board by then is Calvin Ridley from Alabama. I think, you know, he's probably the consensus top wideout right now. After that, I'm not so sure it's a lock that any of these other wide receivers are shoo-in for the first round. And, you know, you talk about Christian Kirk from Texas A&M. He's probably more of a slot wideout. And I'm not sure, you know, how many teams want to invest a first-round pick and a slot wide receiver. Now, you take a look at some of the other guys who can play on the boundary. You're looking at Deion Kane from Clemson. I think he brings a lot of good size and speed to the table. Equanimous St. Brown from Notre Dame. I mean, you want to watch a fascinating piece on the St. Brown family on Real Sports. Brian Gumbel, HBO Real Sports, just did a really interesting segment on the three brothers who played football. Obviously, the Notre Dame player is the first one eligible for the NFL draft, but he also has two brothers coming up after him. And then, you know, some dark horse candidates here, or some day two wideout prospects would include Auden Tate from Florida State, somebody who might remind you of a Marcus Colston, big-bodied, 6'4", 225-pound wideout from Florida State. And then, you know, Courtland Sutton, he's another one of these lengthy guys. He should be in that 6'3", 6'4", range. Some questions about his speed, very similar to an Alshon Jeffrey. I think one of the more interesting questions will be, what will Courtland Sutton's 40-yard dash time be? And, you know, if it doesn't time out well, he could be a guy that goes round two or round three. And then there's some other day three guys there to throw into the mix. Dante Pettis from Washington, a guy that really I think is going to gain some momentum at the combine, and DJ Moore, an underclassman out of Maryland who declared early, I think is a guy that is going to get some day two consideration. And one last guy, James Washington out of Oklahoma State. We haven't talked about him. He was arguably the most impressive player down in Mobile during that week of practice during the Senior Bowl.
Hey, Rick, when I'm looking for some draft news, I always head over to www.NFLDraftBible. But what other ways can people find your work if they were looking to get some more draft information, Rick?
Yeah, you know, I think the best way to find out everything we do is on the Twitterverse at NFL Draft Bible, and there you can find our videos, our podcasts, our rankings, our scouting reports, our website content. So I would say that's the best place to go, and of course we appreciate all the love and having us on and cracking up a cold one.
Absolutely. Hey, Rick, I appreciate you so much, man. We look forward to talking to you more during the offseason. And matter of fact, you told me you'd get with me when we got to the scouting combine in Indianapolis. I want to get some reports from you, brother.
You know it, brother. Sounds good.
Okay, take care. Thanks again. That's Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible joining us on the Graffiti Hotline. If you want to join us on the Graffiti Hotline, that's 701-901-1295. Give us a call. Give us your input. Give us your take. Let us know what you think. We always like hearing from you guys. You can also reach us and give us your comments and thoughts via email at bsandbeer@icloud.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at SaintsBS on Twitter. So we always love hearing from you guys. Give us a call. Send us a tweet, whatever it is. We love hearing from you. Be part of the show. Let us know your thoughts. And lastly, if you're listening to us in Northern Louisiana, you might want to get over to iTunes or Google Play or anywhere you can find a podcast. Download the show, because we have special bonus coverage only available in podcasts. Listen, like it, tell your friends about it, do everything you can, let's spread the word. We appreciate every second of it. Hey, it's Dave Romero of the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We have more Saints Talk.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Again, Heath missed the cue.
Come on, brother.
I'm sorry, I was
He was Googling.
Yeah, distracted.
Yeah.
That girl Googling him again.
He's in Tinder. Sorry.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. This time it's Heath Elson-san.
Yes.
It's Tomas Mauricio, and I'm Dave Romero. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Tomas Mauricio was giving us his 1.0 mock draft. We got to number 10.
Right.
In the first segment.
Right.
Or maybe it was the second segment. But either way, here we go at the bottom of the hour.
I'll speed it up now a little bit.
Tomas, hand it to us, man. I'll quit interrupting you. How about that?
Number 11, the Dolphins, the Fish, Connor Williams, offensive tackle from Texas. The Bengals, Derwin James, safety from Florida State. The Washington, can't say the words, Redskins, Isaiah Oliver, cornerback, Colorado. The Green Bay Packers, Tremaine Edmonds, linebacker for Virginia Tech. Damn it. All right, number 15.
He wanted him.
Arizona Cardinals, Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC.
Oh, a little slide there, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Baltimore Ravens, Orlando Brown, offensive tackle, Oklahoma.
Hasn't there been like 12 Orlando Brown
yes,
offensive linemen in the NFL?
the Los Angeles Chargers. And I had to retype that because I actually put San Diego first. Los Angeles Chargers. Rashawn Evans,
that's
linebacker.
Another good linebacker.
Alabama. Number 18, Seattle Seahawks. Mike McClinchy, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. 19, the Dallas Cowgirls. Billy Price, offensive guard, Ohio State. Detroit Lions. This is for my good friend there. Darius Geis, running back, LSU.
Huh.
21, Buffalo Bills. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama. They pick in a row, two in a row. Buffalo Bills again. Denzel Ward, cornerback, Ohio State. That's a really good pick. 23, the Los Angeles Rams. Again, from my good friend over there, Dante Jackson, defensive back, LSU. Number 24, the Carolina Scampers. Harold Landry, edge, Boston College. 25, Tennessee Titans. Will Hernandez, offensive guard from UTEP. The Atlanta Falcons. Tavin Bryant, defensive tackle from Florida. And finally, our beloved Saints at number 27. Dallas Goedert, tight end.
I like it. I like
South Dakota State.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers at 28. My other pick I would have picked maybe. Malik Jefferson, linebacker at Texas. 29, Jacksonville Jaguars. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver, SMU. The Minnesota Vikings at number 30. Kukuma. Kukuma Okorafor.
Oh, well, easy for you to say.
Yeah, there you go. He's from Western Michigan. 31, New England Patriots, Sam Hubbard, edge, Ohio State. That's a good pick. Number 32, the Philadelphia Eagles, Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle from Michigan. So there's my 32.
All right.
Now you go ahead and say whatever you want there, my brothers, but that's the first round.
Well, just a few names, really more than any specific pick is just a couple of names that come to my mind that I don't see. What about the wide receiver from Texas A&M? You don't have
Christian
him?
Kirk. Yeah. Nope, didn't make the first round. It's all right.
Or, I don't know, what's Vita, Vita?
Vita Vea.
Whatever his name is. That's another guy.
Yeah, well, he's coming up the board. And again, you just have to remember, we haven't done combines yet. We haven't done anything else yet. So, you know. Now,
okay.
If you want some insight into the ones we get picked later, I'll just throw a few names out there for you. In the third round, if these people are available, Ogbonaya Okoronkwo from Oklahoma.
All right, yeah.
A linebacker. I like him. If he's available, from Washington State, Hercules Mata'afa.
Hercules.
And if we don't pick tight end in the first round, then one of the later tight ends would be Gesicki from Penn State. I think would be a good pick for us. And a guy that I'm kind of liking more and more, and I saw him play in the SEC, is Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. So that would be another two. If we're going to pick quarterback, I'm looking at right now, Laletta from Richmond, University of Richmond. And wide receivers, there are a couple of guys on here. I know a lot of people like James Washington, but if Christian Kirk were available, which I don't know if he's going to fall that far at the third round, but if not, this kid from Memphis, Anthony Miller, looks pretty good too. So that's just a few little insights to you for some of the down the rounds, but we'll get to the second 2.0 after the combine.
After the combine. Yeah, that's at the end of the month, beginning of March. Yeah. All right. So I'll tell you what. We do have a hotline call.
All right, get to it.
Let's get to that. By the way, 701-901-1295. Listen, it's a pre-recorded message. You give us a call. No waiting, no hold, no producer. You just jump on. You say what you want to say.
Keep it short.
Keep it, you know, we try to keep it at least under a minute. Keep it clean. And we'll get on the show.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. I got a couple questions. I don't remember reading exactly what happened with the succession plan after Benson, moves along.
Kicks the bucket.
I know he had the lawsuit with his granddaughter, but they said it came to a settlement and nobody really got the information, at least that I can remember. Hopefully you guys have that. And also, last year we traded Adrian Peterson and we had some picks back from Arizona, but it was conditional picks. I don't know what the picks were. So hopefully you guys have those answers.
Lil Dice, always good to hear from you, man. Appreciate your call.
First
you
of all,
the right so the Benson thing is his wife Gail.
Yeah,
and that was you know yeah. He wound argument. Up putting other stuff in the trust with the grandkids right. and all of that kind right. of stuff in lieu of
the Saints'
of
value,
the Saints and everything. Yes. And so basically, yeah. it's all Gail.
It's right. all Gail, which is it was a good thing because from everything we gathered, you know, she's a person that's gonna would have the maybe the best possibility of keeping the Saints with you know and not yeah. Apparently the kids. You know what, Rita, and the grandkids.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they had ideas of you know they're not loyal to New Orleans, so from everything I've gathered, the best situation if you're a Saints fan, you want the Saints to stay in New Orleans, is right where it's at, and that's with Gail, the wife.
That's correct.
The second thing he asked about was the picks for the conditional pick that we got for
it was only one pick, and that's a 6th round pick, which we were given that 6th round pick by the NFL.
Right now, and is there any stipulation that you said we were going to re-sign him?
Right now, if we now if Arizona lets him go, we get him, then Arizona would give us an additional pick just to take him off their hands.
Yeah, I still don't see that happening, but
it's a 6th pick.
Yeah, it's a number 6, and
6th round pick, and according to my calculations, if I did it right, it's number 175.
All right, so I want to get to the Canal Street Chronicles article that we talked about, alluded to earlier in the show. So 5 guys that could get cut that could help the Saints.
All right, go with the games.
Julius Thomas of Miami.
Yeah.
Especially with a kid from LSU getting re-signed or getting franchised.
Landry.
There's going to be some people have to go.
Yeah.
Now, Thomas, when Peyton Manning was there, he was a Pro Bowl-level tight end who just lost an obscurity in Miami.
Yeah.
He could be a player the Saints could, you know. Well, Tomas is not impressed. But, hey, before he went to the abyss that is Miami, he was a good player. Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
A guy that he might be on the street. And he's a red zone beast. You're talking about 8 to 10 touchdowns per year.
Yeah.
Every year. And he's not a speed guy, so they're all – you know, earned in the red zone kind of thing, not a thing where you 40-yard touchdown. Okay, Robert Quinn, another guy that might see himself on the street.
Yeah.
You know, Tomas just disagrees with everything is said, so that's fine. I think these are all good, potentially, guys. And if we had time, or maybe we have to do a special hour just for Tomas to explain. Robert Quinn was a beast at one point. He can't really stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
He's set to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Could find himself on the street.
You know what I find that you keep saying?
What?
At one point. But go ahead.
Well, no. Okay, listen. Again, I'm not trying
to
say.
I know they showed you. That's why you know they're pros. They've shown you.
Well, yeah. These are guys who've been good players. You would have said the same thing. I'm sure you were giggling about Alex Okafor when we signed him. At the end of the day, these are guys that could come in and help the Saints. I'm not talking about paying a bunch of money. The rest, Cam Chancellor, Seattle.
Yeah.
Could be a guy that, you know, is another hitter. Like, he's not a cover guy like Vaccaro, but could be. And the last one, I don't know how I feel about this, Clay Matthews.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess the only guy that really jumps out a little bit to me on that list right up front is maybe Crabtree. He is a beast of a possession kind of receiver guy.
Getting in the end zone
and stuff.
I don't know if I care for him personally, but
he's gonna get more money than I think the Saints are gonna be looking to pay anyway.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. I think when you're looking at price for value, you know, I just don't see anybody on that list that is going to be contributing in a positive way to the Saints for the business decision that has to be made about the kind of money he's going to get paid.
Well, I'm assuming that most of these guys aren't going to get huge contracts. I mean,
Crabtree almost has to. I don't see how he's not going to get.
I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore.
No, he's not a spring chicken. But
his stats are still impressive. Like I said, he's getting 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. In the last 3 years, he's had 9, 8, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that alone is going to bring money. You see, that's the whole thing. Yeah. It's going to be above. And like we talked about before, Michael Thomas only has 2 more years in this contract, and then he's done. We're going to have to pay him some big bucks
right.
to keep him here.
Yeah. Right, but you know, these are guys that aren't going to get
5-year contracts for you. These are
guys even if they get, do, they're going to be those pseudo 5-year contracts. That's yes, really only exactly. 2-year contracts. Right.
So, because I agree with you, these other guys that we're talking about, some of them are pipe dreams that we're excited about. Yeah. We're not going to be able to pay those guys big contracts and then have Michael Thomas. The sad thing, as good as the Saints are right now and all this young talent, man, it's going to be hard to keep all these guys together.
Oh, no, right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So it's, we can have a lot of decisions to make when the time comes. So interesting list of guys that could be on the street who, for the right money, could help the Saints.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that's all the show that we have for you guys this week. I know Tomas is all upset. For Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
Data. And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.